from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Joel. I am Jeremy. It's a Friday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Always like Friday shows. Really enjoy the Friday shows. Also excited for tonight, no doubt about that. Astros Game 6 of the ALCS hosting the Boston Red Sox. The Astros a game away from reaching their third World Series in 5 years. Pitching matchup, not exactly an advantage for the Astros tonight. But maybe Luis Garcia is not going to be tipping pitches tonight. We'll pitch all right.
Well, maybe that, and maybe Nathan Eovaldi had a little taken out of the tank by what he did the other night with the high leverage situation and the 24 pitches and the fact that he won't be his normal self as their ace, and the Astros will have advantage being at home, too. So let's hope that there's a lot of things that, intangibles and otherwise, that sit in the Astros' favor. I don't want to see it go to 7 unless it absolutely has to, but at least you have the final 2 games at home where you have a good chance to win.
That's the way I always feel. I'm always a little bit of a I'm always a little nervous when it comes to like closeout games. We've seen it too many times in this city. I don't want to bring up all the bad memories, but Houstonians, you know what I'm talking about, where it seems like you have victory and grass for a deep postseason run, and then all of a sudden it comes crashing down. We've all experienced that Houston sports battered fan syndrome. So I'm not going to relive it for you, but I'm never fully confident. I'm never fully like at ease until you get that final out. I feel like the Astros are in a good spot, but you don't have the pitching advantage tonight in Game 6. You more than likely don't have the pitching advantage in Game 7 if they don't use Eduardo Rodriguez out of the bullpen tonight. So, I mean, there's some ways that the Red Sox can certainly win this series.
Would Rodriguez be at full rest?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he pitched, what, Game 3, didn't he?
I think that's right. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, that's, again, another reason why when you look at it, and I was trying to think about it. I was talking to Brandon in the video room before we got in here, thinking about, like, who would be the first out of the pen tonight versus tomorrow night. You obviously want to save Javier till tomorrow night and only use him if you absolutely have to, because he is basically your ace in the hole out of the bullpen. I got to believe one of the two, Odorizzi or Greinke, is going to be used at some point this evening to bridge a gap.
If you need to, Hope. I mean, do you go Urquidy in that spot? Because my original plan was
Luis Garcia. He's supposed to pitch Game 7.
Is he? Who said that?
That's been the scuttlebutt going around would be that if they go to a Game 7, you start Urquidy. I'm under the belief that if you save Javier, that you go into Game 7 thinking he's going to start and give you 3 to 4 innings and go from there.
I'm fine if you use Javier today, but you don't use him like down 3, right? Like you're saving that bullet. But if you feel like you need to go to him in a 2-1 game and Luis Garcia's out of gas in the 3rd inning, totally fine going Christian Javier in that spot. I mean, it's a closeout game. You want to close it out as soon as possible. You're not reckless with how you use him, like we said in that previous scenario. Don't use him down 3 in the 4th, anything stupid like that. But if you don't use him tonight, he's my starter for Game 7. Like, no doubt about
Javier
it.
Javier or Urquidy?
No, Javier. If I don't use Javier tonight, Javier starting Game 7. I mean, it's Game 7. Your season's on the line. It's do or die. Who do you want on the mound in a Game 7? 713-780-3776. Christian Javier, who's not allowed a run in 7-plus innings in this series, or Jose Urquidy, who got lit up at Fenway? To me, it's a no-brainer. It's your season on the line. This isn't a dog day of summer game in the, you know, July 18th. This is Game 7. This is everything on the line if you go to that Game 7. So if you don't use Javier tonight, for me, you absolutely use him tomorrow.
No, I'm totally with you. And I like I said, if given the choice between Urquidy, Odorizzi, Greinke, or Javier to start a Game 7, and of course the intangible is the guys that need that kind of starter's prep time, it means nothing to me. Javier is my guy because he's been the most effective. He's gotten the most outs. He's the guy that I have the most trust in. Dusty's a big trust guy, gut feeling guy, go to the guy that is my security blanket type guy. I mean, Javier's given you no reason not to go to him if indeed it is a Game 7.
Let's get to a little bit of Dusty Baker yesterday talking at Minute Maid Park ahead of Game 6 today during the workout day. Talking about Luis Garcia. Last time we saw Garcia, Game 2 was not good. Left the game with a knee injury. Dusty asked about how
people,
that
people
knee...
didn't know you made air quotes there.
I know it's radio. I guess I should convey the message. Yep. Good point. You have my back. I appreciate that. Yep. Here's what Dusty Baker had to say about Louis' knee.
Well, I mean, all I can do is go on his word, go on the trainer's word, and go on Strami's word. I mean, they said that, you know, he didn't feel anything. I just hope whatever adjustment that they made, that he's not thinking through the act of pitching while he's making this adjustment. You know, things have to be so natural that, you know, you're not thinking about it.
It seems to me they're not worried about the knee at all. They're more worried about what Luis Garcia is doing in his windup, his setup on the rubber, that they're not even worried about the knee. I really wasn't worried about the knee after, you know, game two when he was walking to the bullpen and throwing pitches the very next day. I'm not sure he ever had any sort of knee injury, if I'm being honest with you, during game two of the ALCS at Minute Maid Park. It does seem, though, listening to Dusty Baker and then listening to Luis Garcia, They fixed something. That's what they're telling you. Who knows if it's going to work? But there's something that they changed in his delivery, his windup, whatever.
That?
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know what it is, but yeah, I believe it.
I think it might be more associated to tipping pitches. Than
exactly.
That's
what I think, too.
I think it's more associated with tipping pitches than it is about any injury. I think that based on his comments there versus his comments yesterday when he said, yeah, they worked some things out, so now he changed something in his delivery. I don't think he had anything to do with changing his delivery so he didn't feel the knee anymore. I think he had everything to do with changing his delivery so that he wasn't telling the hitters what was coming anymore.
100%
agree. I think that is the big thing, because he wasn't the Luis Garcia we saw throughout the regular season when he was mowing guys down and really an effective starting pitcher. So you hope that that's been worked out, regardless of what it was and what you believe versus, you know, what the theories are that are out there. I just need to see a crisp breaking pitch and a more in-control locating his pitches, Luis Garcia. That's what I need to see. Early on, when we always say keys that we're looking for in the game, early on, I just need to see Luis Garcia locating pitches. I need to see him thinking less, pitching more in terms of just when the sign goes down, hit the glove, stop worrying about being too cute, too particular, and missing spots where you get beat up.
To me, it's about strikes. I feel like in the first three games of this series, and even Greinke start in game four, they were just nibbling. From the moment that a Red Sox would step into the batter's box, they were nibbling. And maybe there is something to the fact that maybe that they had the starters' pitches and they were spitting on some tough pitches out of the zone. But yeah, you can't nibble. You got to throw strikes. You can't put guys on base and then have that three-run homer. If you give up a solo shot, you tip your cap and you say, you know what, my offense is pretty good too. Hope we hit. I don't want to see any walks from Luis Garcia this evening in Game 6. Dusty Baker also talking yesterday at Minute Maid Park. I'm not sure who he was talking to, whether it was you or whether it was me. Who is this advice for from Dusty Baker?
Like I said, people talk too much sometimes, and people meet too much. And everybody will know what you're going to tell them. You know, that I'm just going to say, go play.
Was he talking to you, or was he talking to me?
He's talking to you. He knows how much you hate him.
Was he talking to Joel, or was he talking to Jeremy? 713-780-ESPN. A little fun with that. But he was really talking about how he was asked the question. He said, what are you telling your team right now? You're a closeout game away from going to the other World Series. Like, what's that motivational message that you're giving to the locker room? Dusty's like, I don't talk. Like, these guys have all been here before. What do they need to hear from me? Which I think is the perfect message from a manager. These guys have been here. These dudes have done it. They don't need that motivational speech in the clubhouse ahead of game six when you're up 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, too, we know who Dusty is, right? And we know what he's all about. I mean, you saw what he was wearing yesterday. It looked like he just got off like a cruise vessel. I mean, he had some like pink tinted Hawaiian shirt and a laid back baseball cap. And it looked like he was just going to grab a lawn chair and kick back. He's not into motivational speeches. He's not the rah-rah guy. He's the guy that's been there, done that, that hopes to do it again, that's looking to just, you know, have his guys keep doing what they're supposed to be doing. I liked the fact that last game, though, he did change it up a little bit. He was the guy that went out to the mound. Even Strami said, look, I don't remember, but maybe one or two times that he's ever done that. But when Dusty wants to do that, you let him do that. And it was effective. So you hope he's pushing all the right buttons. You hope that, you know, the thing that really got me yesterday, Jeremy, was in the talks about all the different things that happened in game five and what was going on in Dusty's mind. He got to talking about how Siri keeps him loose, how he really likes how Siri in the lineup does some things. And I'm going, oh, God, don't play that hunch again, please. Just leave him on the bench, put Chaz in center field, and ride your best hand in this game, the most important game of the season, okay? Siri got his, coughed one out there as a Texas League duck snort at late in the game when it wasn't needed anymore. But don't think there and look at the box score and go, he got a hit, you got to put him back in the lineup. He can dance well, and he keeps the guys loose. No, screw all that. Chaz McCormick's a center fielder tonight.
I don't see any way that Jose Siri's in the starting lineup today. The two starts that he's made in this series have both come against left-handed pitching. I'd be 100% shocked if it's not Chaz McCormick in the starting lineup against Nate Eovaldi later this evening. We'll probably get the lineup news before we're done at 3 o'clock, so we'll get to that. A little bit of bad news, if you want to believe the reporting of Bob Nightingale. Reporting on Lance McCullers, there is no change, at least that was according to Dusty Baker, which Nightingale reports leaving ace Lance McCullers all but officially done for the season. That's not quite official, but Nightingale reporting looks like Lance McCullers, if the Astros advance to the World Series, they'll
be
without
Lance. Which is odd
because
they said he's close to 100%. That's what I don't understand.
See, I didn't see that in the story, though. I think it's a misleading headline.
I saw it. Someone had the graphic below.
They said he's not throwing yet.
On one of the sports, but whether he's throwing or not, they said, like, health-wise, he's on 100. You can't be close to 100% if you can't do what you're supposed to be able to do when you're 100%, in my mind.
See, I saw that on the headline. I read the story, didn't see it. It also posed the question to me, though, like, if you're Lance McCullers, and, look, you don't want to have permanent damage to your forearm, or you don't want to, you know, cause more damage to what is forearm discomfort, the muscles tight, whatever the case may be, the medical terms that you want to use. Like, at what point, if you're Lance McCullers, do you gut through it? Because it's a World Series. Like, I know he's a gamer. I know that he's gritty. But, hey, your arm's a little bit tight. This is the World Series. At what point do you risk it? Like, where do you need to be? Where do you need to be? Well, 110% health-wise?
I can answer that the easiest way I possibly can, which is if I talk to the medical staff and know it might be a little bit of discomfort, but I can't do any further damage to it, then I definitely am there for my team. If I run the risk after coming off of Tommy John surgery that going back out there and trying to push it may cause damage that's going to be long-term or at least lead into next season, then I'm not doing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of advanced medical questions there, a lot of hypotheticals there as far as it goes with Lance McCullers. But according to Nightingale, would not be ready for the World Series if the Astros get there. Meanwhile, on the other side of the bracket, in the NLCS, Braves leading the series 3-1. They jumped out ahead 2-0, but then the Dodgers came alive thanks to Chris Taylor.
2-2. Uh-oh. That's deep left center. Chris Taylor. Not one, not two, but three. Chris Taylor. The night of his life. 7-2 Dodgers. Home run number 3 for Taylor. 6 RBIs.
6 RBIs, 3 homers, thanks to TBS on the call. Chris Taylor had himself a night. We mentioned this yesterday. Brian Anderson on the call.
He's great job.
He's
really good.
I completely agree. Yeah. I agree with that. I was just trying to rush to my point because I thought I had a good one that you interrupted. Well, but anyway.
A blind squirrel finds a nut.
Not quite Kevin Millar when they were down against the Yankees 3-0, and Millar was telling Shaughnessy, saying, don't let us win tonight because we got Petey tomorrow, Shield the next day, and anything can happen in a Game 7. Maybe not quite to that point. And the series is heading back to Atlanta. Game 6, you got Max. Game 7, you got Walker Buehler.
Yeah, I mean, again, deja vu all over again, Yogi Berra style, because if they did it last year, last night was the exact worst nightmare for all Braves fans because it's almost like sending the greeting card before the holiday gets there going, we're back and we're going to do it to you again. So if you thought you had a chance in this game with your quote-unquote ace on the hill, we used a guy that you guys really didn't think was going to get you once, 3 times. And now we've got our 2 guns waiting for you.
Yeah, so an interesting series to watch on the other side of the bracket. Astros,
now, the Dodgers are dinged up, too.
They are. I mean, no Justin Turner, no Max Muncy, no Clayton Kershaw, no Trevor Bauer.
So I don't want to look past the Red Sox. They're a good team.
No, I'm not.
Offensively, they've been very, very good.
I'm not.
But when you talk about it, whoever represents the American League going to the World Series, assuming that, because that series probably is going to go 7, I think. But if it doesn't, even deep into 6, advantage American League because both teams are going to be burning pitchers so that it's going to set their starters back when they get to the World Series, whoever represents the National League. So if you are the Astros, you'd really obviously love to close it out tonight and then hope that National League series, they duke it out through a long, drawn-out Game 7. They got to drain a bunch of pitchers on both sides. And then whether it's the Astros or the Red Sox, like I said, you go into the World Series with an advantage before you even play a game.
Especially the first couple, you know, going up against an exhausted pitching staff. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. How you feeling for the Astros in Game 6 tonight against the Red Sox? 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. J.J. Watt. had some words to say yesterday and has a little pity on the Texans. That's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I want to tell you about homecoming coming up on Saturday. The Houston Cougars taking on the East Carolina Pirates. Scarlet hot Houston Cougars, 5-1 on the season. First place in the American Conference, by the way. Come out, hang out with us. 3 o'clock is kick at TDECU Stadium. Come out way before that. The tailgating, the kids zone, a great place to spend your Saturday afternoon. The Cougars offense playing well. Clayton Toon's been heating up. And the Cougars, by the way, that third ward defense, fourth best defense in the entire country. Case Keenum will be there, fresh off his Thursday night victory. That's what he does. He wins games. He'll be there at TDECU Stadium. The 2011 football team will be recognized during the game. Performances by the Spirit of Houston band. DJ Me doing his thing in the student section. It's college football. So you got the cheerleaders. You got the Cougar Dolls, Shasta and Sasha. They'll be all there. And well worth the price of admission, too, especially for those kiddos. And it's homecoming. So we'll have the presentation of the homecoming court. Crowning of the king and queen as well. And tickets are only $20. What a great way to spend your afternoon. $20. Get your tickets now. UHCougars.com/tickets or call the box office. They still have one. 713-GO-COUGS. Get your tickets today. Go Cougs.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, so J.J. Watt, he's the opponent on Sunday. He'll be there, first front row seat to watch the David Johnson revenge game as he goes back into Arizona. It's a game that David Johnson has circled on his calendar. Did you hear about that?
You do, too, because you created this entire nonsense.
713-780-3776.
Blow over.
I didn't.
Would you call it the David Johnson Bowl?
Revenge game.
Revenge game.
Yeah, he's ticked off that he got traded by Arizona to the Houston Texans. I mean, who wouldn't be? You go from what is now a 6-0 team to a 1-5 team where the wheels are falling off. I wanted to get to a couple of these texts first. Caleb saying, to be completely honest, I have no faith in Luis Garcia tonight.
That's not good.
I mean, can you blame him, though? Can you blame him for having no faith?
I told you. Like, I just need him to figure out whatever wasn't working and don't do it again, because what I saw of him doesn't give anybody the reason to have a lot of faith, I don't believe.
5 runs in an inning. I mean, you can understand why Caleb doesn't have any faith. I look for a combination of Javier and bullpen to send us to the World Series in game 7. It's kind of the way I'm going as well. And then got some weird spam text as well. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. While it is a David Johnson revenge game on Sunday as the Texans head to Arizona, a couple of former Texans will be there as well. One of them hadn't spoken to the media, though. DeAndre Hopkins has not talked to the media this week. He's not much
he's
of a media guy.
Because, like I told you, that's the guy that's really going to have the revenge game.
The player props aren't yet up yet, by the way. I was looking for those player props this morning in prep, and I couldn't find them.
Bucket, a quarter, and 2 touchdowns. That's what I'm saying.
There's no way that's going to be the number, though. So, I mean, if
no,
you want
to play,
I'm not
saying that's going to be the over-under. I'm just saying, me personally, I say
you'd play
over. He goes for a buck and a quarter and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, you'd play the over, which I expect him to have a good game, too. The other Houston Texan that was there was J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt had a little bit of a Q&A with Sarah Barshop of ESPN talking about, did you expect the roster to turn over, and was that a reason that you're no longer here?
J.J., when you were making your decision this offseason, because you had a new coaching staff, did you get a sense that there would be this much turnover and maybe this is what the Texans season would like look like this year?
Yeah.
Is that one of the reasons you decided to go somewhere else?
Yeah.
I don't know what you expect.
Why do we have
there?
To? But why J.J. Watt always has to get coy in one word answers?
But what's he hiding?
You're out of town, right? You left. You got what you wanted. You're with a team that's 6-0. Just be honest and give us some details, right? Like, I don't know if part of this handshake deal of we won't trade you if you say it wasn't us, you know, so you can sign wherever you want deal goes further than that and says, oh, and by the way, whenever you get to your new team, you can't bash us either. But you know what? You don't owe them anything anymore. And the city of Houston's always going to love you. If not for your play on the field and the stellar years you had in a uniform, everything that you did out of the uniform for the community. So you can just speak your mind now, JJ.
What? Maybe it's some like agreement to the settlement. Like, we'll release you
That's
for no
saying.
Cost.
That's what I said.
Perhaps it could be that. That's something that I think you could consider. Yeah. But what's he hiding, though? We all know why he left. He wants to play on a Super Bowl contending team for the last few years of his career. Like, there, it's obvious why he left,
There's
right? Like,
what's he hiding?
What's he covering
up? He could go into detail about how just completely upside down and screwed up that place is.
Yeah, but why throw somebody under the bus? Like, I understand that, you know, he's
because
gone
some
now.
People
he's
might
in
say, hey, you need to be the loyal guy. You were drafted by this team. They went on of their way and bent over backwards to keep you and make you happy and do all these things. You shouldn't have left. That's why. So you can come back and say, no, you don't understand. Because the reason why I left is you got some nut job playing video games that's running the joint that doesn't even know to sign off on trades that are absolutely horrendous that actually helped me get to my next destination with the best receiver in football. And then on top of that, they're drafting guys that suck, that they are convinced they're going to be somebody instead of guys that can actually play, Jonathan Taylor. And then on top of that.
But that wasn't those guys, was it? I mean, it's not Caserio that made that move.
No, I'm talking about, but I'm saying that these are the reasons why he left.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Or the fact that they let Jadeveon Clowney run roughshod, not practice, go to casinos instead of being close to the team for home games that he wasn't going to play in anyway, and then have JJ have to indirectly under the radar call him out too and say he doesn't, you know, the way he lifts and you guys left to check with him, I'm not talking about that guy. Well, there's a reason why he's not talking about that guy, because it annoyed the hell out of him. Now that you're gone, talk about it.
Well, JJ Watt still says he loves the city of Houston.
Obviously, I have a massive amount of love and respect for the city of Houston, the fans, all the people there, the guys I used to play with there. So there's definitely a lot of love there for all those people. Now, in terms of the actual players, I mean, the roster is almost entirely turned over. So it's not like I have a lot of history or relationships with the guys on the team because it's such a brand new lineup. I don't think there's a lot from that standpoint, but just in terms of the city and the people and the memories and the history, it's all love between me and the city.
So there's J.J. Watt. And kind of to your point, look, I love this city. So what you're saying, he owes it to the city to blast Jack Easterby. I don't know that he does, but love for the city there.
I think he'd be more beloved by the city if he did.
I think so, too. Without a doubt, right?
This is the last morsel they're holding on for. Someone they hear all the innuendo from everybody that leaves. They hear the merciless comments. They hear the Randall Cobb comments. They hear the Roby comments. Whoever leaves a trail on the way out as they decide to kick them a little bit. Someone just needs to blow the top off of it and go, okay, let's just call it like it was.
Well, why does Twitch hate J.J. Watt so much? I don't understand. The Twitchers at twitch.tv/ESPN975 are just letting J.J. Watt have it. What did I miss with the hate for J.J. Watt? Watt, though, decided talking about why he decided to pick the Arizona Cardinals, which at the time didn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Well, I saw a ton of potential. I mean, obviously, like I've said all along, you have to have a quarterback in this league to have a chance, and Kyler's a great young quarterback with so many skills, talent all over the place, and then obviously after I signed, we added even more talent. So I saw opportunity, and I saw a team that was moving the right direction and that I could hopefully come and help move even further in that direction.
All right, so it's J.J. Watt. I want him, though, making my futures bets because he bet on the Cardinals to be better than what many people were expecting the Cardinals to be in the offseason. So far through six games, he's nailed it.
Yeah, you're right, because I think a lot of people had scratched their head and thought, well, that was just a money grab. That wasn't anything. He can say what he wants about winning, but that wasn't about winning. That was about just getting paid. But he's getting the best of both worlds. He got overpaid for 2 years, and he's got a situation where he's the only undefeated team in the NFL. And he's sitting on a whole bunch of help around him every corner he turns because offensively they got help by getting A.J. Green. And defensively, you know, between Chandler Jones and all the different guys, Buda Baker and the guys that he has on defense, he's got just a boatload of talent surrounding him. And, of course, the guy he talked about, Kyler Murray, happens to be a guy that he believed in as much or more so than he believed in a guy here in Deshaun Watson who didn't have the same kind of talent around him that J.J. was apologizing to when the Texans let him down and the team let him down in the way he felt the season ended in his final year here. So I'm with you. I thought that he did a complete cash grab because you know what? Obviously, being from Wisconsin and going to Wisconsin and growing up a Packer fan, I thought it's a natural thing. He's going to go to the Packers. Even if he takes a little less, he's going to do, you know, what he's always dreamed about doing. It's like Garrett Cole. I always wanted to play for the Packers. Well, now I can play for them, and they got a chance to go someplace. I'm going to go with them. And instead, he signs with Arizona. You go, he did what?
So the Texans have no chance against the Cardinals Sunday, right? I'm trying to decide between.
It's a lot of points.
I'm trying to decide my survival. So
pick. Okay. If it's a survival pool, then I would say you are very safe taking the Cardinals.
I'm down to two teams. Do you go Rams over the Lions, or do you go Cardinals over the Texans? Because I've been playing like tennis with both of them, kind of rotating, like going against the Lions, going against the Texans, like each and every week, and it's worked so far, 6-0 so far. But I have a decision to make: Rams over the Lions or Texans falling short against
Where's
the Cardinals.
Where's that Rams game?
It's in L.A.
Oh, I take the Rams.
I mean, you can't go wrong with either one. I think no. You kind of have to forecast on somebody that you might not use again rest of the season.
I'll take the Rams.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we come back, Kevin Davidoff of the New York Post wrote this article. It said, looked at who benefits from the Astros making another World Series. Ken Davidoff of the New York Post joins us next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to give a shout-out to Dr. Jason Biles. It's my boy. He's the best athletic trainer in the business. He works for the Astros. He just got a gold medal at the Olympics, but he swung by to say hi. So I appreciate Jason. I want to say hi to him. And I also want to tell you guys about my bookie, because bottom line is, if you're looking at the big weekend of sports, you're talking about the Rockets tonight, the Astros tonight, the Dodgers and the Braves tomorrow night, and all the college and pro football, and you want a place to put your money down, there's only one place to go. It's mybookie.ag, and we know it's the best in the business because we know everything you're concerned about, they take care of for you. That means your money's safe and secure once you put it in. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to disappear. You're not going to have any issues. Secondly, when you win, they're going to pay you. And thirdly, they have great promotions like the one they're running right now where they're going to double your next deposit up to $1,000. That's right. You put money in up to $1,000, and when you show it up and when you look to see if it's shown up in your account, not only is it there right away, but it's double what you put in. So you put $200 in, you got $400 in your account. More money in your account, more games to bet on, more chances to win. And that also means you can bet anywhere and anytime with MyBookie. So all you got to do is sign up now for that next deposit or log into your account. MyBookie.ag, put in the promo code BET975, double that next deposit, and then let the games begin. Put your money down, in-game betting if you want, live in-game betting, soccer as well, baseball, basketball, football as the NBA is starting, pro and college football, big on the weekends. And the thing is, you can do it on your tablet, you can do it on your cell phone, you can do it on any device, and you can keep going while games are in play. Check them out today. Put in that promo code BET975 at MyBookie.ag and find out what we've been telling you for a long, long time. Bet anywhere, any place, anytime with MyBookie.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line. Joining us now on the Killer Bees, Ken Davidoff at the New York Post. Ken, you cover in the series the Red Sox and the Astros and the ALCS. Astros a game away from going to the World Series for the third time in 5 years. A lot of people outside of Houston not big fans of the Houston Astros, that's safe to say. You penned this article in the New York Post saying, who benefits from the Astros making another World Series? Can you tell our audience who benefits if the Astros do get back to the Fall Classic?
Well, thanks for having me. My number one beneficiary, I thought, is Major League Baseball itself. I just think the more identifiable and transcendent people and teams that are in the World Series, the better it is for the sport and for the awareness and people being into the World Series. And of these final four teams, I think the Astros have the highest awareness quotient, I guess you could say, largely because of the sign stealing scandal.
Okay, so let me go to the flip side on that, because I said all along the only way that this team can absolutely vindicate themselves is to win the whole thing. And I don't feel like baseball has wanted them to do that. They've wanted the Astros to be the poster child. Everybody criticizes the fact that they weren't punished enough. And so that would be like going against the fact that baseball would like to see them down. You see the promos, you see everything on the headlines on ESPN and otherwise. The Astros get lost in the shuffle, maybe intentionally. So I'm curious from your standpoint, just why baseball would want them to win so much when they've tried to make sure that they were the poster children for cheating.
Well, I think they're kind of tied together. I mean, because people love villains, right? Villains have identity. I'm not sure I would agree with you. They tried to make him the poster boy for cheating. I mean, they were caught with a very specific violation and convicted of it.
Yeah, but, I mean, you look at across the league, from ex-players to all the different people in the media, that some even doing work on MLB Network, you know, come out with stories and personal experiences that there were other teams doing it too, using the same kind of technology, and then they're forced to walk it back the next day because, you hear baseball got involved or, you know, people made a phone call. But it just seems like, and I've said all along, look, they've cheated. We know they cheated. But I just don't think that they were alone. And I think, like, this team with the Red Sox, it's ironic that the Red Sox faithful, their radio people, everybody in the media thinking that the Astros got a couple games in this series, and suddenly they used cheating to do it when the Red Sox were cheating too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to pick apart here, right? I think any current – I think the Red Sox radio station, right, the Boston radio
yep.
station, that was a bunch of garbage, right, just
yep.
throwing stuff out there. I do, again, we could probably talk for hours about this, but I think the Astros were caught of a very specific violation that no one else has been accused of doing, and they were found guilty of it. I think it's pretty simple.
Ken Davidoff of the New York Post joining the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Topic of conversation on this show, I mean, Carlos Correa is in the final year of his deal, right? We had Brian Cashman, I think it was last week, or maybe earlier this week even, talking about how shortstop's going to be something that the Yankees will be focusing on this offseason. How would the city react to Carlos Correa donning the pinstripes in a Yankee uniform?
I think it would be very mixed. I think everyone respects his talent and his personality greatly. You know, this is a guy who was really shown, or is it shined, under the scrutiny of everything we were just discussing. You know, really, I think that scores major points for him. Having said that, there's still a lot of bitterness over 2017, and it's not like he's the only shortstop option out there. And their lineup is so right-handed as is, and when you look at someone like the Dodgers' Corey Seager, who swings left-handed and was not involved in a sign stealing scandal, I think he's probably the number one target for fans, for sure.
All right, so let's get to Dusty Baker for a second, too, Ken, because I'm interested from your perspective. A lot of people thinking with the job he's already done here, he should have already been offered an extension. Some people here that will remain nameless that I'm sitting right next to believe that there's no way that he should actually be back next year. How do you rate the job Dusty Baker has done, and do you see him managing the Astros going forward?
That's a great question. I give Dusty an A. I mean, everything rests on the foundation of the sign stealing scandal, right? Everything Astros-oriented. And when Jim Crane fired A.J. Hinch, which in retrospect I believe was the right call, as well as Nuno, and he decided, all right, we have a unique situation here. We have a crisis. Who was the best person to do this job? And he correctly chose Dusty Baker. And Dusty, I think, has done an absolutely brilliant job of guiding this team through chaos, right? I mean, obviously the pandemic on one hand spared them from that immediate crowd treatment, but also it was a freaking pandemic and it was chaos in and of itself. So just the job he has done to two straight, at the very least, three wins in the LCS, two consecutive years, very impressive. Now, does that earn him another contract? I am torn, because I do think you kind of have to separate it in a vacuum and say, all right, well, is he the best person equipped to manage this team moving forward? And I'm not sure he is, but, for sure he's done a brilliant job. And I wrote today, I think if he gets into the World Series, I think that should secure his place in baseball's Hall of Fame.
Okay, so with all that being said, Ken, and you watching this series, and of course we give credit to the Red Sox when they've gone off with their grand slams, no matter how they figured it out to do it, and we're sitting at a point now where with two games left in Houston, Stroh's up 3-2, how do you see it playing out this weekend? Because obviously there's some concerns here with Uvalde on the mound, and they've got their pitchers lined up a little better than Houston does.
They do. I do think the Astros will win. I'll say they'll make it interesting and Uvalde wins tonight, and the Astros win tomorrow night.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a safe bet, certainly. Ken Davidoff of the New York Post joining us. Real quick before we let you go, what's the feel in New York in terms of the ALCS? Very good baseball town. How are Yankee fans watching this series?
Oh, I think most Yankees fans are not watching this series. I think they're a miserable bunch, just bitter and sour and spoiled and ugh. And, you know, why can't we be more like the Red Sox? Why can't we be more like the Astros? Why can't we be more like the Rays? You know, the fact that they brought back Aaron Boone, there's just a lot of bitter and angerness among the Yankee fandom.
Yeah.
Ken, can you be the anti-Jeff Passan for us, being in New York, too? Can you represent us, and can you just figure out why baseball hasn't opened up that letter?
Oh, no. Well, first of all, I love Jeff Passan. Jeff Passan's a foxhole guy for me. I'm not sure what your beef with him
is. The whole city's got an issue with Jeff Passan, but it's because of the article. It just seems like there's an anti-Astro tone, but it's just the whole city.
All right, well, I'll take a bullet for Jeff Passan 7 days out of seven. But the letter, I reported on that last year. We already know what's in the letter. What's in the letter was that in 2015 and 16, the Yankees were using the video room, as were many teams, as it turns out, including the Red Sox, not in real time, but watching the video, watching during a game, all right, during the third inning, all right, let's watch this. Okay, it looks like they're doing this. And then, you know, kind of relaying that to runners on second, you know, again, not in real time, like the garbage can bang, like the monitor in right there. But that's what that letter is.
Got it. Good information, man.
Ken, great work as always. Thanks for hopping on, taking a few minutes to enjoy the city.
Yeah, thanks, guys, and thanks for having me.
You got it. Ken Davidoff of the New York Post. Good article he posted in the Post. Who benefits from the Astros making another World Series?
He's going to the wall for Jeff Passan. Okay.
I mean, you can understand it, right? I mean, he doesn't live in the city. He's not on the receiving side of, you know, the scorn. And I mean, I've heard good things about Jeff Passan too, professionally.
I mean, look, I do the same thing for you. There's a lot of people that all the time.
You would take a bullet for me.
I don't know about a bullet.
Ken said he'd take a bullet for Jeff Passan. Would you take a bullet for me?
I think you're an upstanding guy, and I'll go to bat for you no matter how much people hate you. I just think that from this standpoint, you can be like Jeff Passan's buddy, but just the article the other day about, we have 23 missed calls by Laz Diaz, and we go on a six-paragraph rant or whatever it was from Jeff Passan about the one that was in question that cost the Red Sox the game, that basically gift-wrapped an Astros victory.
Yeah.
You can tell why the whole city doesn't care for the guy.
Exactly. But you can also understand why Ken doesn't really care about being on that side of the argument. You know what I mean? Like, he's not on the Houston side of reading that Passan story. He's reading it like another journalist would read.
Ken's a friend of the program. Jeff's not. Ken, side with us. Fake it. That's all I'm saying.
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Am I wrong in thinking, like, this whole sign-stealing stuff, like, I am so tired of it. Like, it's to the point where I don't even want to justify it or give people this, like, these Boston radio folks, like, giving them the satisfaction of even talking about it on our show, because I don't even think they think that it's actually true. Like, to me, it's just pandering to an audience. It's trying to get listeners, trying to get clicks. Like, I'm so over-talking about it, so far past it. Am I wrong in having that logic?
Quarterback for the Texans, right?
I mean, it's different, though, right? Like, it's different in the sense that the quarterback for the Texans is their biggest commodity. So anytime that there's news on that, you're going to have to look at it as it could potentially happen and then talk about what you want in return.
Sure.
Whereas this is something that happened 5 years ago. You can dispute the merit of how much it actually meant. And any sort of accusations that are being talked about right now are so completely false. Like, it's not even worth talking about to me.
But it is, because people don't have that comprehension that we do. Because every time you say the word Astros, no matter what you'd like them to say about another great season, their fifth straight American League Championship Series, the first thing that comes into everybody's heads is cheaters. And so it won't go away. That's why I said I was so adamant about the fact that they have to win it this year. Because if they win it this year, I believe this is the – and again, because –
Does it, though? Because you have Boston guys.
Now, it's like almost like the Boston radio station and the Boston fans are trying to even try and prevent that. Because instead of, like, earning it and earning a trip to the World Series and doing what they want their team to do, they're – of course, it can't be possible that they're getting beat by a better team. It has to be that they're using outside sources to beat them. And that's a bunch of BS, too. But I think that going into this playoffs, I thought, look, they win it all. Everybody's got to stop talking about it. Now, because of this, maybe they don't. But at least you've got another skin on the wall that says, you know what? Keep talking about it. It doesn't matter, because now we validated it again.
To piggyback, I would say the important people would stop talking about it. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Nick Caserio can learn from Daryl Morey. How? Why? That's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Rockets home opener tonight. They take on the Thunder from Oklahoma City. A lot going on in the city of Houston today.
A lot.
I'm excited for the Rockets season. I know it's one game in. I know they didn't look great. They're favored tonight by 3 points over the Thunder,
they
by the
should
way.
Be. The Thunder are almost worse than they are.
This season's about development.
Thunder doesn't have as much talent. I was thinking about that the other day, that when you think about it and you look at the two teams, for as much as everybody thinks that the Thunder have control of at least one-third of every draft from now until the end of mankind, the Thunder, are, with all the different players they've drafted, are still lacking the things that the Rockets have a better chance of already having, which is a franchise-type player or two. Now, they may not be completely mature and developed yet, but they have enough, and we've seen enough, that's on the kind of path that those two guys are trending towards, whereas the Thunder don't have any of those guys.
I can't say the seven-footer's name for Oklahoma City. The big dude, seven-footer.
Which one?
Hey, he was their lottery pick last year.
I got to see their roster.
He averaged 8 points. It's like Alexic Pokusevski. I'm curious to see about him. But look, we've talked about this from a Rockets point of view, that this season's not about wins.
No.
But to me, it's still totally worth going out to the Toyota Center and watching them play, simply because they have really good young talent. Like, you could be watching the early signs of what turns into a superstar, whether it's KPJ, whether it's Jalen Green, another year of Christian Wood with the Rockets as well. They have good young pieces. They have a lot to learn. Look, it's a young team. It's a team that needs to mature. They need to become pros. I think Silas is the guy to get them to that point. But to me, maybe that's too far of a stretch.
Let me just say this. I was right there with you until the opener.
That much in one game that you're already willing to make that leap?
Because, like I said, he's an offensive mind. Everybody gives him so much credit for what he's able to do for Luka. Then offensively, it was throwback to Steve Francis and Ketino Mobley and isolation, dribble, dribble, dribble. And it was so painful to watch. I was like, wait a minute. This is the first sign to me that Steven Silas isn't getting through to these guys, that maybe he isn't the offensive guru, and maybe he isn't the right guy for the job. And right, you're only one game in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let it continue to develop.
And it's a young team, so you can't go on just like the first month of the season. You need to see what kind of development and strides you make until like the All-Star break, until the end of the season, I think, before you can really give any true like take on Steven Silas.
Yeah, I'll say this too, though. The other thing I get is, look, he can preach till the cows come home, and he can tell you what you're supposed to do, but if these young kids don't want to execute it, but then there's another disconnect. Because you know what? In the NBA, you know, whether you're babysitting or you're actually working with players that you're developing, you have to have communication, and they have to understand who's boss, and they have to follow your lead. If they're not following your lead, that's the first sign that the coach has a disconnect with the players. That's the sign that maybe he isn't the right guy for the job. So let's hope they get it together tonight. Because the other thing is, defensively, there were no rotations. There was no switching. The kinds of things that you need to see from a team that gets it, from their coaching staff. They might not be capable of executing it all the time in terms of making enough buckets and winning enough games, but they get the concepts, the systems, and they can execute. Right now in game one, I didn't see that.
That, to me, is the stuff that takes time, though. And Silas was really honest about that in the preseason, too. A lot of young guys that need to learn how to gel together, and they have to learn to play together. So to me, I mean, you need to see a handful of games before you can really gather what this team's going to be. But still, very young team, an exciting team. Looking forward to the 81 games left in the regular season.
You're going to say the 81 people that are going to be at Toyota Center tonight.
Might not be entirely
I would bet that
dishonest.
The people that are having been through this before, and you know where we sit, where we were at the top of that first section in the middle, right with our backs up to the club. Mm-hmm. The club, when the Astros games were on, you would hear a big roar, and everybody be looking around from in the bowl, like, where'd that come from? And the majority of the people were watching the Astros on a big screen in the club.
That's not a bad place to watch an Astros game.
No, it's great.
If you're looking for a place to watch the Astros game inside the club, and then you have the Rockets going on as well, not a terrible idea. 713-780-ESPN. Big news going on in the NBA right now is the Philadelphia 76ers and Ben Simmons. Shams with the latest on this. They met earlier today. Ben Simmons spoke to Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, and the entire 76ers team today and accepted that everyone needs to take responsibility, including himself. But Simmons informed them that he's not mentally ready to play yet and still needs some time.
Now, I know I'm not supposed to say anything about this because, you know what? If it truly turns out to be a mental health issue, then there are things. But I'm afraid to say this, but yet I think it's something worth saying, that because of the people that actually have gone through things, when you think about this, Osaka, when you think about Simone Biles, when you think about people that have made it public, and you could tell leading up to it that there was probably something like that going on. The unfortunate thing is now the savvy agents and the people that work with players are putting that in their back pocket, and they're going, you know what? If we want to have some kind of a masking agent for my guy just not wanting to be there and being a little childish in the way he behaves, the one thing that no one's going to push back on us for is if we say this. Because, look, he was at practice. He was getting his shots up. He was doing the things necessary. He just, at the end, when he knew the cameras were in there and for otherwise, one day he bows out while they're getting ready to do their final little team get-together in the 1-2-3 go. And then the next day, he becomes an issue at practice, gets thrown out, because you know he's only there for the money. He's there to make sure he doesn't miss any checks. This is Deshaun all over again. This is their version of Deshaun Watson, where he's still making sure the money's coming in, the checks are there, he's not losing any cash. And then, oh, by the way, on another Deshaun move, did you notice what happened after that too? He tweaked his back. He doesn't know he might be injured for a while. So I'd love to say that I believe you, and if it is truly that, something that is there and it's a mental health issue, then I apologize. But right now, the way it looks from afar, I don't know that I'm buying it.
It's a good comp with different situations, Ben Simmons, Deshaun Watson. And what we're seeing Daryl Morey handle this situation, I believe Nick Caserio can learn a thing or two from what Morey and how he's handling the Ben Simmons situation right now with Philadelphia. Here was Daryl Morey, the president of operations, I guess, for the Philadelphia 76ers on Philly Radio, talking about this Simmons situation.
You're going to think I'm kidding. I'm not. This could be 4 years. The conditions that I'm pointing out to you don't change. Unless Ben Simmons is traded for a difference maker, we're in the prime of Joel's career. We have to get back either Ben Simmons playing well for us, who helps us win the championship, or we have to get back a difference maker for Ben Simmons. Or this could be 4 years from now, and we're still like, hey, we took the best shot at it we could. So this could be 4 years. This is not a day-to-day. This is like every day we're going to expect Ben Simmons to be back here, or we're trading him for a difference maker. There's no other outcome that doesn't materially hurt our chance to win the championship in Joel Embiid's prime.
I couldn't agree more with Daryl Morey, because if you trade him right now, you're trading him for pennies on the dollar, and whatever you get in return is not going to elevate you into a championship contender. The only way that you become better with your roster, or at least have a higher ceiling, and you're trying to optimize your ceiling, right, because that gives you the best chance of winning a title if you hit that ceiling, is to either have Ben Simmons transform into the player that he was and slightly develop maybe, or to get a good package in return for Ben Simmons. So if you're getting these Eric Gordon for John Wall offers for Ben Simmons, no, you shouldn't do that. And Morey's saying 4 years, because that's the duration of his contract.
And I hear that, Jeremy, but I'm going to give you this, and this is Daryl outthinking himself on this deal. That would be all fine and good if he didn't overset the bar, if he didn't make the price so high, and then thinking that everybody somehow watched the playoffs with blinders on and didn't see how the season ended for Ben Simmons and the Sixers, to think that, hey, the price tag is too high and this guy's asking too much. And by the way, the guy we're getting, we're not sure of to say that he's worthy of trading for a guy that's a superstar caliber going back. So you're not going to, we always say, look, when you trade a superstar, you don't get equal value in return. But the problem is most of those other superstars actually are at the prime of their careers and can still play, and left the floor in their last game that they played for in that last team's uniform looking like that they belonged as a superstar. Ben Simmons did the exact opposite. So Daryl can preach till he's blue in the face. Daryl's also the one that said he needed a Deshaun Watson type haul coming back with like 5 first round picks or whatever. He started with the bar way too high, and people just scoffed at him and laughed at him and go and said, good luck with that, and wallow in it. Because there's a lot of general managers out there that want him to fail for all the stuff that he's tried to pull and do and the deals that he's made where he's fleeced teams. So they're like, you know what? You can say that till you're blue in the face too, Chief. I don't see many teams lining up to give you a superstar for Ben Simmons.
To me, Caserio can learn from that mindset, though. Not trading what can be a star player or an all-star level player for pennies on the dollar. I have a bad feeling Caserio might be closing in on doing that, trading Deshaun Watson for pennies on the dollar. Meanwhile, in the NBA, they announced their 75th anniversary team, their top 76 players, 75th anniversary. Yep. And a lot of dialogue and debate with this, who was snubbed, who was left out. Some of the big names that or at least getting, do I have a problem with the snubs?
No, the fact that I asked who got snubbed.
No, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Okay.
Who do you think got snubbed?
I think the first three that came to mind that I tweeted right off the bat were Alex English.
Who do you take off?
Adrian Dantley and Dwight Howard.
Fair.
I would put Clay Thompson in there too.
See, he was another name that I saw mentioned quite a bit, alongside like Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter. Jokic was mentioned there, although his shelf life hasn't been as big as some of these other guys on there. Bernard King, another name. But who are you taking out? Like, who was in there in the top 76 that you feel like shouldn't be in there?
I'm not sure Anthony Davis belongs in there yet.
I mean, the peak has been, you know, not
there's
that
been
many
a lot
years.
Of injuries. Yeah. That's the knock on Clay, too, right? As good as Clay's been and arguably one of the best shooters and in the best shooting backcourt of all time, and he's won the championships, done that, but he hasn't played enough because he's been hurt. I don't think that Anthony Davis has played enough. What does Charles call him, street clothes? Because he's in street clothes as much as a uniform. So I think that would say that maybe he doesn't belong on the list. I think that you look at a guy like Alex English, and he was hurt by it. He actually tweeted out, I caught a tweet on the way to the show, where he said, you know what, I can't say I'm not bothered and hurt by this, but in a league that's so much about flash and dash and all the things that you do, maybe it is that I didn't, you know, run my mouth enough or play in a certain way. But when you look at his stats and you look at his accomplishments, the only thing that he's missing is a championship, because otherwise Alex English was a scorer, he was an all-star, he did all those things. Adrian Dantley, a problem child sometimes when you see the documentaries about the Pistons and some of the things that he pulled, but Adrian Dantley was just a flat-out scorer. The one that I struggle with is Dwight Howard for people here locally, because people saw Dwight at a different point in his career when he was here. People forget about how dominant Dwight was for the first 8 years of his career when he was an all-star. I just, because I know who Dwight is, because I've seen it firsthand too much, maybe I'm scoring too much to say that I'm against it, because he's just like a little kid. But there's one that everybody's saying should be considered, too, in Dwight Howard, because it's hard to match 8 all-star teams and the things he did early in his career.
Yeah. I mean, you can make a case for all those guys. I'm not sure they missed a whole lot in the 76 players that they have on this top 75 team. I sent the Big E my congratulations, though. He was pretty excited about getting in that top 76 list. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Some conspiracies around the Astros and a big leaguer. He's got a truth bomb when it comes to the Astros. That's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I was there bright and early this morning. Dr. O and his staff right there waiting and always taking care of their customers. There was a lot of guys waiting to get in so they could get out and get on with their weekend. You should be the next person to get in contact with Apollo Men's Health. Your health is your wealth. You need to invest it in yourself. And you just haven't felt like yourself lately, or you thought that your get up and go has got up and went and you can't get it back. That's not true. All you got to do is get in touch with the people at Apollo. Tell them what's going on. Tell them what your goals are. Tell them what you'd like to achieve and where you'd like to get to. And then don't shake your head. Just be honest when they ask you tough questions. They're going to put you on a plan. They're going to get your results. And they're going to get you the kind of results that you thought you could never attain again. That's the way they do their job on a daily basis. So it starts with making that first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com and book it. You'll find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel, first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank. Get a free B12 shot I get every week. I got one this morning. It gives you more energy throughout the week, and it's kind of time-released. So it's not just a one-day burst like caffeine. It's throughout the week, and it helps you. You feel like you've got a little more pick-me-up than you normally do. But then tell them what you're trying to achieve. You want a workout plan, and you want to get going on trying to take care of yourself. Well, then they can do a full body composition analysis, and you can chart the results from week to week of where you started from and where you've gotten to. Recover quicker, HGH peptide therapy. Vitamins and fat burners, they got them all under one roof. Powders for your smoothie. All the different things that can help you get back to the healthy lifestyle. And, of course, testosterone therapy for men and women. Check them out today. They're good people doing great things. I believe in them. And use my name. You'll get that free B12 shot on your first visit. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.